As President Trump began his trip to Asia this morning, he was questioned about the news this week that he was in a meeting during the campaign when now indicted former aide George Papadopoulos said he could broker a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
I don't remember much about that meeting. It was a very unimportant meeting. It took place a long time. Don't remember much about it.
And he said he didn't know if he would fire Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who was also in that meeting, but he's sure disappointed Sessions is not investigating Democrats.
Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. And joining us today, Maria Elena Salinas, news anchor at Univision. Hi, Maria Elena.
Hi, good to talk to you.
Good to have you back again. And Chad Pergram, who covers Capitol Hill for Fox News. Hi, Chad.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
And let's start with the president's comments this morning. He was asked if he would fire Jeff Sessions. Let's listen.
I don't know. I'm really not involved with the Justice Department. I'd like to let it run itself. But honestly, they should be looking at the Democrats. They should be looking at Podesta and all of that dishonesty. They should be looking at a lot of things. And a lot of people are disappointed in the Justice Department, including me. Thank you, everybody.
Chad, what do you make of it?
Well, this is the $64,000 question in Washington as people are trying to figure out, you know, does this wash up on the president in any way, shape or form? You know, there was a lot of moving around here where people thought, well, maybe this would be a situation where the president might fire or try to undercut the special counsel, Robert Mueller. Lindsey Graham, a Republican from South Carolina on the Senate Judiciary Committee, when I asked, you know, what would happen if the president were to do that, he said, quote, there would be holy hell to pay. And just this morning, Matt Gaetz, who is a Republican freshman congressman from Florida, has introduced a non-binding resolution for the House of Representatives that would basically say, you know, we think that Robert Mueller is not handling this well and should recuse himself.
Well, but Maria Elena, we're not quite sure why the president was asked about Sessions. It was so noisy there at the helicopter. But as you know, Democrats on Capitol Hill are demanding that he return for more questioning because not only was he in that meeting with George Papadopoulos and the documents that were revealed when indictments were handed down this week, revealed that he said in that meeting, no more talk about meeting with the Russians, you know, that this might be leaked, stop talking. So he batted it down, but he knew about it. And then we now know that former foreign policy advisor Carter Page testified yesterday that he told Sessions he was going to have meetings in Russia last year. And as we know, Jeff Sessions said he hadn't heard nothing about Russian attempts to involve in the election. So I mean, we're not sure if the president is talking about firing him over Russia or firing him for his department not investigating Democrats. What's going on?
I think probably the reason why you're hearing him talk about whether the FBI and the Department of Justice should be investigating the Democrats is just to divert attention precisely from this situation. You know, it's no wonder that Mr. Sessions insisted that he did not remember. Who's going to dispute, you know, an older man's memory? You know, he was covering himself just the way that the president was covering himself. You know, with Mr. Carter's testimony does prove that Sessions knew that he was going to Russia. But Sessions could easily defend himself, saying that it was unrelated to the Trump campaign. But, you know, even more damning than Carter Page's testimony is George Papadopoulos' picture sitting in that conference room with the president and with Mr. Sessions, and where he was offering to set up a meeting with the Russians. Even if they rejected the meeting, they at least knew that there was an attempt to collude. So both Sessions and Trump would be lying.
And Chad, I just want to know, do you think Sessions is going to be heading back to Congress?
Well, that's something that people here, certainly on the Democratic side of the aisle, would like to do. They would like to have him before the Senate Judiciary Committee again. They were not very pleased with his performance a few weeks ago when he came up here to talk about matters. Again, this was supposed to be just a routine oversight hearing, but they talked about a lot of other things. And to also weigh in here for a moment on the Carter Page situation, I was told by my sources familiar with his lengthy meeting yesterday, and one of the reasons I was told it took so long, he was there from about 9 to about 5:30. It was the longest interview that the House Intelligence Committee has conducted with any witness so far, and we're going to get a transcript of this here in a few days, is that his answers were very long-winded, labyrinthine, they weren't clear. And the reason that it didn't seem to send off alarm bells, at least according to people familiar with what Carter Page said, was that he had told Sessions that he was going to Russia to give a speech at a university, and that didn't send up these red flags with the Trump campaign at the time. Yeah.
I think that was the first time we've ever had the word labyrinthian
on
the show, and we loved it. Now, Maria Elena, let me ask you about what's been going on with the Democrats. We got this book excerpt released yesterday from the former DNC chair Donna Brazile's book, and she says Hillary Clinton took control of day-to-day operations a year before she defeated Bernie Sanders last year due to a financial agreement that gave Clinton control because the DNC was so debt-ridden and she was sharing her fundraising with them. Was that a shock or not?
I don't think so. It should come as no surprise to anyone. You know, accusations of the DNC, you know, that was tilted toward Clinton have been around since the primary. It's no secret that Clinton thought Bernie Sanders was getting in the way and splitting the vote so badly that she so badly needed not just to win the nomination, but to win the election. I think that the real question here is why? Why now? Why talk about this now? The election is over. The Democratic Party is trying to regroup, clean up their wounds and try to retake at least the Senate in 2018. And this just gives Republicans, especially President Trump, more ammunition to attack the Democrats. So why now? I don't imagine it's an act of contrition. I don't think it's wanting to come clean. You know, that's usually not the way politicians operate. Maybe it's just a way to purge the party even more and distance itself from the Clinton debacle that at the end proved to be very toxic for the party.
I just came from a press conference with Nancy Pelosi, the minority leader. And one of the reasons I thought I might be a minute or so late getting over here to be on the air with you is I was trying to press Pelosi about this. I asked her if she believes these allegations that were made by Donna Brazile, who was the interim chair that talked about how bad the finances were. Pelosi completely punted. She said she wasn't involved. She said, I don't have any interest in things I'm not involved in. And I said, but wait a minute, this deals with fundraising. You are a major fundraiser for the Democratic Party. And she bragged for a minute. She said, in fact, I'm the biggest. And I said, well, yes, that's the reason we'd like to hear what you have to say about this. And she completely punted about this. Huh. And Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, basically did the same thing when pressed in a similar fashion yesterday.
Well, maybe this is all about teeing somebody else up, you know, setting somebody else up for, you know, 4 years from now on CNN yesterday. Here's what Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren told host Jake Tapper.
This is a real problem. But what we've got to do as Democrats now is we've got to hold this party accountable.
Very quickly, Senator, do you agree with the notion that it was rigged?
Yes.
Well, and Maria Elena, we all remember the protestations, you know, at the conventions. Oh, that's silly. You know, when people, especially Bernie Sanders supporters, were saying it was rigged. What does this do to the party?
Yeah, I remember perfectly. I remember the convention when they had that sit-in in the area where the journalists were. I think what happened in the past is that since they thought Clinton was the inevitable candidate, it's probably why they were raising funds together. They never expected anyone else to give her any kind of competition. So to them, it was probably something normal. And yes, the party right now wants to look like it's united, but things like this are dividing them. So they're trying everything possible to distance themselves, like I said before, from this whole Clinton debacle. That's why a lot of Democrats are out saying they wish that Hillary Clinton would just go away. You know, right now she's out promoting her book, she's out giving speeches, and they just want to put that behind them and just move forward.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have to talk about the Republican tax cut proposal, which came out yesterday. This is something that could impact every single American. This is House Speaker Paul Ryan taking a question from a reporter.
If Republicans can't get this done, do you deserve to control the Congress?
What's your second question? We're going to get this done. You know why? Because the American people are counting on us. We're going to get this done because we told the American people this is what we're going to do if we get this majority. And guess what? We're doing it.
Now, Chad, we spoke with Mara Liasson yesterday, who said that this thing may die a death by a thousand cuts. We spoke with an economist today who said it's not going to pass in anything like the form that it's in now. What do you think?
Well, consider how much time it took to move Obamacare. Votes in the House in November of 2009, vote in the Senate in December of 2010, and then a final vote merging the packages in March of 2010. That took 5-6 months right there. The fact that they want to do this by Christmas is very tough. I talked to one skeptical member from a district that would be hit who didn't want to be identified by this when they walked out of the meeting yesterday, and I said, what do you think? And the quote was, I think it sucks, close quote. Now, I'm going to tell you about three members to look at. You talk about the New York and New Jersey members are the ones to watch in this. John Katko, Elise Stefanik, and Claudia Tenney. They are Republicans from New York State. If they vote yes or signal their support for this, this bill is probably going to pass. When they approved the budget resolution, which is the framework for this a couple of weeks ago, the vote was 216-212. You could only lose two votes. So that shows you they have no margin for error. And so if they lose anybody else, maybe some California Republicans, people from a high-tax state, this bill is toast.
Maria Elena Salinas, go ahead. Just a few seconds.
I just wanted to add to that that, you know, the Congress is investing, or congressional Republicans are investing most of their political capital on this tax plan. The real problem is within their own party. It's not only on the House side, but also on the Senate side. There's at least three Republican senators, Jeff Flake, Susan Collins, and Marco Rubio, who said they're not in.
They're not in.
So they definitely need a political win and able to survive.
Maria Elena Salinas, a news anchor at Univision.
And Chad Pergram, Fox News senior producer at Capitol Hill. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.